Today we are going to read from Apostle's letter to the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, last three verses, verses 11 through 13. I read from NASB, New American Standard Bible. Verse 11. Now, may our God and Father Himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that He may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints. The church at Thessalonica is very dear to the heart of Apostle Paul and his companion missionary Silas, even including Timothy. That's why his heart is filled with joy and thanksgiving to God whenever he remembers the church at Thessalonica. It is the very, very impressive result of a possible short staying in Thessalonica. Thessalonica is the entrance part of 21st century Europe. Of course, in Apostle Paul's days, Europe was not called Europe. It was just segregated regions of Roman Empire. So, first part of Roman Empire's regional city is Philippi. And Philippi is not great to Thessalonica in the region of Roman colony by name Macedonia. Thessalonica is earned almost a semi-free standing colony. They could have their own magistrate, their own court, without any intervention from Rome. Apostle Paul, up to his visit by sailing to the Macedonian region, his missionary work was just about Asia and Asia Minor. But chapter 16 in Acts, verses 6 through 10, we have a very interesting record by Silas and Luke. Verse 6 through 10. Paul's missionary company, they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region after being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, it's in north part of Asia, far northern part of Asia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, they passed by Mysia, that's a far east side of Asia Minor. Close to Aegean Sea, they went down to Troas, that's a port city. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night because the Spirit of Jesus forbade Apostle Paul to speak in Asia any longer. So, a man of Macedonia was standing and pleading with Paul and saying, come over to Macedonia. That's a new part, not part of Asia or Asia Minor. It is part of west side of new territory, new region, Macedonia region. Still under the Roman Empire's rule. Help us. When Paul had seen the vision, we, his companion, immediately sought to leave for Macedonia. It is Paul's first step into nowadays European region, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to the people in Macedonia. So, following few verses tell us what happened. They sailed through Aegean Sea and they landed in port city and they stopped by Philippi, second largest city in Macedonia, next to Thessalonica. We know the story. Paul preached and converted a few Jewish people, but non-converted Jews got jealous against Paul and his companion, and Paul was imprisoned, but God miraculously loosened Paul's fetters, and the jailer was impressed and he became Christian. But Paul was beaten with Silas, and they were Roman citizens, and the Philippian city council members were afraid of what they have done, because they beaten Roman citizen without any court judgment. So they are driven out of Philippi. So Paul, he went down the Roman highway, so-called Via Egnatia, almost 100 miles southwest of Philippi was Thessalonica. Paul entered Thessalonica. The Acts chapter 17 tells us he could not stay any longer than about 3-4 weeks. But every Sabbath day, he entered into a Jewish synagogue and then proclaimed Jesus of Nazareth was fulfillment of Mosaic law. And in short period of time, God made huge missionary revival there. So the church was established. But once again, the Jews got jealous against Paul's new teaching, because as they told that Thessalonian court magistrate, this guy made the whole world upside down. It is very important statement made by Jesus' enemies, Apostle Paul's enemies. They said, this guy made the whole world upside down by their strange teaching. What teaching? About Jesus of Nazareth. Apostle Paul, in very short period of time, received God's confirmation by that previous vision, so-called Macedonian vision. Apostle Paul and his companions, they knew that was God's calling. On the one hand, preventing them from preaching any longer in Asia. On the other hand, encouraging them by Macedonian vision to go to the Macedonian region and proclaim gospel of Jesus Christ. And in Macedonia, in very short period of time, most converts are Gentiles. Few God-fearers, those Jewish converted proselytes, and few Jews, but majority converts are from Gentile idol worshippers. Apostle Paul was so encouraged by such great, impressive confirmation of God. From there, he had to leave again because the Thessalonian magistrates, instigated by Jewish haters, drove Apostle Paul and his companion out of the city. So they moved from the city. But remember, Apostle Paul was so impressed by the great acceptance of Macedonian Gentiles about his gospel preaching. He was greatly encouraged because Macedonia and the southern part of Achaia is a totally new territory. In his first missionary trip, he never set his foot in this region. But by the call of Macedonian vision, he stepped in the new territory. And then God confirmed him in Philippi and in Thessalonica greatly. And then he moved on to all the way to Athens. And there, he yearned for Thessalonian church members. But since he was driven from there, he could not go there. So he sent instead his companion assistant, Timothy, to that church to strengthen, to encourage them. And Timothy brought back great news about Thessalonian churches to Paul and Silas. And Paul, once he received such great news by Timothy, he wrote back to Thessalonian churches. That's why we have Thessalonians. First Thessalonians and Second Thessalonians. In chapter 3, verses 11 through 13, we have Paul's heart desire. Actually, it is stirred up by the Holy Spirit to show Jesus Christ's desire, heart for that newly converted Thessalonian church members. Jesus, by the mouth of Paul, wanted to cause Thessalonians to increase, abound in love for one another among church members and for all people, those who are hating them. Once they were friends with each other, but since they became converted to Christianity, their former friends became haters against them. That was what Paul meant, persecution. You endured very well persecution in your hometown. Yes. But the heart of Jesus was very strong by moving Paul's heart to pray for Thessalonians, so that Paul's desire is in line with Jesus' desire for the Thessalonians, is this, to cause Thessalonians to increase, abound in love for church members among themselves and for all those haters or those who are just indifferent to the gospel of Jesus Christ in Thessalonica. And Paul said, just also we do for you. We are companions. We worked day and night by our own hands not to burden you. In mission field, how can we burden you materially? But we worked by our own hands. And then we supported ourselves so that we could preach, proclaim good news without any hindrance among you. Such an endeavor we did because our heart is filled with love for you. So, from our example, you Thessalonian church members must be increased, abound in love for each other and even for those haters of you. So, love in Thessalonian church is like engine in a new Christian person or in a new self, in a new man. Love is like engine because the love is pouring into your heart. That's innermost part of human spirit or human soul. Your heart is filled with love. Great power engine is poured into your heart from God, who is love, as Apostle John said. God is love. So God is residing in your heart. Your heart is overflowing, increasing and abounding in love is overflowing. Love is filling up to the brim and overflowing. That love has great power, like great horsepower in engine, 12V engine like that. Then with that love, your heart is well established. For what? To have fruit. Effect. That is, no blame in holiness. That is what we call sanctifying life. All Christians are called the saints. Becoming separated, consecrated, set apart for holiness, to serve, not anymore themselves, but to serve God alone. To serve God without blame in holiness, our heart, our innermost part of soul must be established with power of love. How long? Until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Our Christian journey is powered by God's love, implanted in our innermost part of soul. And it empowers us to establish what kind of fruit that love of God implanted in our spirit bears. No blemish in holiness. How long? Throughout all our life journey on earth, until, either way, our death, or when we survive at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. That is missionary Paul's desire for Thessalonians. That is ultimately our ascended, exalted Lord Jesus Christ's desire for each one of his brothers and sisters. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Here, we have great insight into what is the image of God in Adam and Eve, or in human beings in general. Verse 23, you may be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, that in the likeness of God. Aha! In the likeness of God, we are renewed as a new man. What is likeness of God? Here said, has been created in. As was with Adam and his wife, in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Here we have. Of course, we are created in the image of God in terms of our willpower, in terms of our affection, in terms of our mind, understanding. But the wholesome character of our spirit is this, righteousness and holiness. This is our Creator, God the Father, our Creator, God the Son, our Creator, God the Holy Spirit, desire for each one of us. Sure enough, Jesus, at the night of his arrest, just before his arrest, he told several times to his disciples about this. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. And they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Verse 29. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome the devil's power because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world, the devil, the Holy Spirit. So here, Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit in you, Father in you, I in you is greater than the devil. So throughout all your earthly journey, you are well protected and you are well preserved to be blameless, without blame, in holiness before our God and Father. Until your whole earthly journey, or at the coming of myself, Jesus, with all his saints. we should have comfort, because we do not stand alone. We are not our own. We belong to our Savior, Jesus Christ, who was under curse for our sake, and who preserves us until His coming, or until He calls us to be with Him. That time span, that time period, we receive individually. Each one of us has a different lifetime. But all our earthly journey, Jesus is within us, dwells in us, with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, and the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, greater than our enemy, Satan's power. That is comfort. And our Father set His goal for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to God the Father's purpose. For what? Verse 29. For those whom God foreknew, God also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. In what sense? In holiness, in righteousness. Jesus is proud to present us before our God and Father at His coming. Brothers and sisters, let us be encouraged. This is Jesus, our Savior's desire, by the mouth of Apostle Paul's letter, for each one of us, so that through all our earthly journey, we may be comforted, encouraged, strengthened to stand before our God and Father at our Lord Jesus' coming, without blemish, without blame, in holiness, after our Judge and Savior, Jesus, in spiritual character, moral character. Until then, let us continue on. Amen.